It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, so enough spieling from me, though. Let's kick it over to our interview with Anwar Richardson of Orange Bloods.
All right, we're pleased now to be joined by Anwar Richardson. You can give him a follow at Anwar Richardson on Twitter, and he covers the Texas Longhorns for orangebloods.com. Anwar, thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you inviting me on. I've followed you for a while, and like I was telling you beforehand, like it's fun for me because I'm a country boy. I'm a Floridian. I went to high school down in Polk County, Florida. I went to Lakeland High School, the Dreadnoughts, Bill Castle, and everything I've done throughout most of everything is my career. You said you had Tennessee roots. Mm-hmm. One of the high school when I got out of college and I was covering high school sports, as like a lot of people have to do, probably the best athlete I've ever covered was a guy by the name of Travis Henry.
Oh yeah.
Who you should be very familiar with. And I was there. I remember covering Travis from the sophomore season when he was also playing nose guard and got switched over kind of halfway through the season. And all of a sudden this craziness ensued. And also covered his senior year where he had rushed for, it was like 4,087 yards in his senior season. And then led them to a state, the championship game. Can't remember. It's been a long time. I want to say they lost to Jacksonville Bulls or something to that effect, but I'm very, very familiar with it. So I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I had to have you on, man. Say welcome to the SEC, brother, because you're in it with us now, the Texas Longhorns. Coming to the SEC, and I saw, some of my followers already started to get on you. That's what Vol Twitter does.
Yeah.
Who is the real UT? That they took a big issue with you calling Texas UT. In your mind, who's the real UT?
Well, first of all, the issue really was the Tennessee fans who didn't understand that UT is called Texas. So what started going back and forth was that Tennessee fans were correcting me and saying, we don't know what Tennessee has to do with this Board of Regents vote. We're sure he must mean Texas. So that's what was the back and forth, was people who were challenging me, telling me it's, and I'm like, wait a second, it's called UT Arlington. Like, I mean, that's what they call it. So, I mean, you can't, my only mission was, it's like, you can battle back and forth, like real Roxanne or something like that. Like who's got the real thing? Man, they're both UT. I just think Tennessee fans are going to have to get used to people calling another school UT. And I think there's going to be that whole, it's like you got two people with the same name and they're both John. And you're like, well, which one is John? I'm like, and so, John, and someone's going to respond. So there's going to have to be some sort of compromise here that occurs.
Oh, good luck.
But I will tell you this, Texas fans are not going to give up UT. I can tell you that much. That was not part of the things that they were said, like entice or anything like that. I think Tennessee fans are going to have to get used to it. And they're probably going to get offended. They're probably going to get offended by that. But if you just go Longhorns, that's fine. But you're going to hear UT a lot.
So how big of a surprise was all this move? Because I was completely blindsided by it. I've heard rumblings that the SEC considering breaking away from the NCAA. And if there was going to be a big announcement, that's what I thought it was. I did not know that Texas and Oklahoma were coming to the SEC. So was that a surprise for you guys over at Orange Bloods?
Oh, my goodness. It definitely was a surprise. It's a big thing where, Texas several years ago, considered joining the Pac-12, and that was going to be like some sort of super mega conference. And, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, Texas fans have kind of turned their nose up to the SEC, for years. They've kind of felt like that's not really a conference for them. That's a conference for everybody else. And so, even when there may have been an opportunity years ago for Texas to maybe try to go with A&M or something to that effect, they didn't, because they just didn't think that's where the party was at. That was where all the cool kids would be. But things change. Times change. And we all understand the SEC is where it's at. I mean, the SEC is everything. And so I think what we've seen now for Texas is saying, okay, got the big brand that make more money than any other college athletic department. But there is this thing about this success that they want to have in all sports, especially in the football realm. Right. And this allows them the opportunity to be in a conference that they don't have to carry. And I'm not saying they've carried it through the success or anything like that, but they are the most, you know, the name, you know, that's the reason why there's a big TV rights deal. It's because of the name. People, when they think of the Big 12, they don't necessarily think Kansas State. They don't necessarily think Baylor. They don't necessarily think TCU or Texas Tech. There's two names that come to mind. It's Oklahoma, and of course, it's Texas. Now, Oklahoma comes to mind because of Oklahoma's success, six straight conference titles. And so, you know that that's going to have an impact. So what's interesting is to see two rivals essentially joining together to say, like, this is the move that needs to be made. I think it speaks to the power of the SEC. It speaks to the brand that was built, how the commissioners and all the other programs are able to build this brand. And from a football perspective, it becomes a really interesting thing, because now if you added Oklahoma, you add in Texas, and you add in more playoff spots, how many more spots does this mean that the SEC could potentially take as far as the playoffs are concerned? I mean, you already know there would be a good amount anyway. Right. That brings more competitiveness to it. You know, I think it's a great situation, because it's not a situation where Texas comes in and all of a sudden everyone bows down to Texas. Like, all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, Texas is here. Woo, they've come here to save the league. Like, that's not it. You know, there's still going to be a time where it's the new person that gets into the high school or the college, and you got to find your way in, and you got to earn respect, you know, and they, you know, so it's going to be interesting how that goes. So it definitely was a surprise, but I can tell you from a fan base perspective, they have been extremely excited, extremely pumped up. Again, as a Floridian, I've always thought that Texas wasn't in the SEC. You know, it just seemed like that just made sense when we think about the Southeastern Conference. But now I think this, to me, is kind of like the universe, you know, writing itself. And I think I think other teams in the SEC should be really excited about this, because not because Texas and OU are here, but when you start thinking about recruiting in the SEC, that base is down in Florida. You know, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, like a lot of good states, and of course supports it in Louisiana. Now having the opportunity to stretch into Texas and really be able to say, all right, you know, hey, we've got two SEC teams in the state of Texas, Texas A&M. And now for some of the other programs to be able to say, hey, man, I can't get this 3-star or 4-star out of Florida, but man, there's a 4-star out of Texas. And I can tell that person, hey, you know what? You still get to see your mama, you know, a couple of times a year. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to have to go that far away. They'll still get a chance to see you. This is still drivable thing. So I think at some point it will enhance recruiting for the other programs to now be, imagine just a program being able to say kind of how Bama's been able to do, well, we'll go into Florida and get who we want. We'll go into Texas and get who we want. Now other programs have the opportunity to really expand and say, we'll go into the two of the biggest states with the top elite recruits. You know, I'm not naming like a California or up in Maryland, but two of the best places you want to go and have every right to be there. I think it only makes the league, a strong league, even stronger.
Yeah, because I agree with you 100%, because all these players that are going to, say, Baylor or TCU or Texas Tech, I mean, I don't see how they turn their back on a Missouri, Arkansas, you know, Ole Miss, teams like that. They're going to win every one of those battles because there's so many good players in Texas.
No, you're right. And again, we don't know as of this moment what that Big 12 conference looks like going forward. But yes, if I'm to your point, where I may have not considered Missouri or may not have considered a program like that, because you're like, why would I go there? Now that I know I'm attached to this league that has success year in and year out, competing for national titles, competing for conference championships. And the thing is, and you know this very well, Mike, all these kids who are coming out of high school believe they're going to go pro. Mm-hmm. Like they just believe that. They just believe it. We're older. We understand the percentages. We understand life. We've seen it come and go. We've seen the high five stars and the four stars and then them flop. But these kids don't know that at this moment. And so they look at the SEC as the gateway to the NFL. And so, again, I'm not going to, if I'm a kid in Texas, I'm not looking at Texas Tech as a gateway to the NFL or Baylor to the gateway or TCU or any of the other programs. I'm going to look at these other programs and say, hell, even if I'm at Ole Miss, I still got to probably, I may have a better chance than going to some of these other programs, you know, that are available within the state. So I just think from a recruiting perspective, you know, a few years down the line, it when the SEC has a stranglehold on all these programs where we're looking at recruiting rankings and 1 through 10 to, and 15 and how many SEC schools are going to be in there, it's going to be because of the pool that everyone's able to pull from.
I really wanted to ask you, how do we get Texas and Oklahoma in here as soon as possible? 2022, a lot of people are hoping. And I know well, I saw the Billy Lucci episode. That was great. But the one prior, I mean, you guys were saying, well, hell, we need the Big 12 to die. So it's wild how quickly that league could go away. But would that be the main obstacle in getting Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways for it to happen, right? And so the easiest way is for Texas and Oklahoma to cut a check, right? If they just cut a check and say, like, this is the $80 million that's owed, we're out. That's the easiest way for them to do that. And I'm of the belief that Texas and OU, and we could just use simple logic, didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, we should get outside the SEC. Do we have a plan? No, we'll just wing it, right, and figure it out. Like, we know this well enough to know that this has been strategized. This is planned. They know all their different options, and they know which they plan to execute. What could make it a really interesting domino that could fall, because that, you know, Bob Bowlesby was sending out press releases and he was upset about everything. But at some point, they got to start thinking about their future, and these individual programs have to think about their future as well. Texas and OU going into the SEC, that sets these programs up for the next 50 to 100 years. Yeah. They're good. That's pay dirt. But if you're a Texas Tech, you got to figure out what you do now. You can't just worry about getting a paycheck for 3 or 4 years. You've got to make sure that you don't go become obscure, obsolete. I think the interesting domino that could fall is when one of these other programs, let's say like a West Virginia, if West Virginia has an opportunity to maybe join the ACC, and they said, all right, we're out as well. And now all of a sudden the Big 12 knows they're out of 7 programs, maybe potentially 6 programs. That's when I think everything falls and crumbles and everything happens very quickly, you know. But I think that my guess, and this is a pure guess, my guess is that there's going to be things that have been done behind the scenes in order to speed this up, to get this to 2022. You know, Texas being in this conference as a lame duck for the next 3 or 4 years, I don't think works well for anyone,
right,
or you know, OU as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it overshadows the conference. It takes away any of the positivity of the conference. If it's just about a check, it's about a check. But imagine Big 12 media days where that's the only question being asked. Like, it just, at some point, I think dominoes are going to fall. I think we'll see other programs going into survival mode and trying to find potentially landing spots in other conferences. And if they could, because when this TV contract is up, without Texas and Oklahoma, these people in these conferences aren't going to make as much money. Right. You know, there's the demand to watch Iowa State games and K-State games and Texas Tech games, but that's not going to be there. No one's going to pay a premier price for that. And even the teams that they're able to add in, when you think of the free agents that are out there, whether it's University of Houston, really good program, whether it's SMU, really good program, University of Central Florida, University of South Florida, Cincinnati, again, good programs, but that's not going to move the needle from a TV perspective. Yeah. So if a school could go somewhere else and get into a conference and make sure and figure out, okay, we'll make more money here than we will in the Big 12, then those dominoes start to fall. And then I think you see the Texas OU thing sped up a lot more.
Now, I know it's early, but, you know, have you gotten any feedback from the Texas fans in regarding, you know, how competitive they expect to be right out the gate in the SEC? Because I know we're all making the jokes. Texas can't even compete in the Big 12. And I don't mean to offend Longhorns, but I kind of see this similar as Missouri when they entered the SEC. I don't know if you recall that time, but I mean, people thought it was a joke. They thought they would take 10 years for them to be competitive. And then I know the SEC East was down, but they won the division 2 years in a row. So could you see something like that for Texas, depending on, you know, let's say they get in the league next year?
No, I think, you know, look, I love being on your show. And the one thing I always try to do is just keep it real. Like, I'm not going to try to BS anyone just to say it for BS. Mm-hmm. I think the program that could really hit the ground running is Oklahoma. I think that is the team that has shown us success, mm-hmm. been very successful. Lincoln Riley is a fantastic coach. He just is. His ability to recruit quarterbacks is clearly probably, I don't know who else really compares to him in the country as far as producing top elite quarterbacks. I mean, the Spencer Rattler ends up being first round pick, or, you know, you're starting to look at Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray to Jalen Hurts to Spencer Rattler. Like, I mean, that guy can do it. And the thing is that people who may not follow OU, they've got a defensive coordinator by the name of Alex Grinch, and that defense got a lot better last year. And it's like OU got to the point when they knew they had a high powered offense, but when they got to the Final Four, they were losing because of their defense. Mm-hmm. And so they put a heavy emphasis on improving their defense. This is a team that I think will be talked about. We'll be talking about this team in late November, but early December, as a team that we're talking about potentially in the CFP. So I think OU has a chance to hit the ground running. And I know people will say certain things. It's funny to talk about Billy Lucci. I think what SEC fans have to understand is that, you know, preparing for OU for a bowl game is one thing. 3 weeks to prepare, 4 weeks to prepare. You've got a lot of time. But when you've got 3 to 4 days to prepare for an OU, when you really going to only get really, you do a Sunday kind of practice, kind of walk through, mm-hmm. having the day off, and then you only have a few days, it's going to be different. It's a different world. And so I think for me, OU's a team that goes in there is poised for the success. The Texas thing to me is a wait and see game. I need to see what they do this year, but more so than, and if they could have some success this year, I could say, okay, potentially they could be successful. I mean, the SEC as good as a conference as they are. I mean, once you get past, you know, some of the top teams, your Floridas, your Georgias, A&M is really good. I mean, then you get into like this middle area where I don't look at it and say these teams are that much better than maybe Texas. Is Mississippi that much better than Texas? Arkansas, I don't think, is better than Texas. We'll find out this year. Mm-hmm. Is Tennessee better than Texas? South Carolina, I mean, Vanderbilt, of course not. Missouri. So there's a middle tier of teams that I think Texas can say, okay, they'll be in the middle tier as of this moment. If Sarkisian built something great, and they go out there and they beat Louisiana in the home opener. They go on the road at Arkansas. And it was funny because that's a night game. And I'm a conspiracy theorist. And I'm just, when that game was made and it was a night game, I was like, that's really weird. Like, how does Arkansas get a Saturday night game on ESPN? And then it's like, oh, well, so suddenly, mysteriously, now there's more interest in that game because that'll actually be Texas versus an SEC school. By the way, Texas has had some success against SEC programs in bowl games. They did beat Georgia in a game, which, of course, it apparently didn't count because Georgia players didn't want to be there, right? That's how it works.
That's
right?
Our excuse if they every win, time.
It counts. They didn't want to be there, so it didn't count. Okay. They did beat Missouri in a bowl game previously as well. Mm-hmm. So they've had some success. So I'll be interested. But if they get off to back to what I was saying. So if they get off to a good start, they get off to maybe a 3-0 start, really get past the first two games, which is Louisiana's at home. That's going to be a tough game. Going on the road against Arkansas, hostile environment, that's a tough game. But if they can have some success and at least get to the Big 12 championship game, then I would say, all right, but you know, potential. But to it's not throwing shade, or Texas has not won a Big 12 championship since 2009. And they've only been to the Big 12 championship game one time since then, which is a couple of years ago with the infamous Sam Mellinger. We're back. Mm-hmm. So I can't sit here and say, oh my gosh, like they're going to hit the ground running. I'm like, I mean, they'll hit the ground and you know, and they'll, you know, and maybe they'll walk and run and stuff like that. But there's still some heavy hitters in there. And I think Oklahoma is better poised, but you know, Texas will see. Let's see what they do this year, and I could probably better answer that question.
It's interesting that you you know, make that note of that Arkansas-Texas game at night. I never thought of it quite like that. I like to think of it. You know, obviously last year we went to the 10-game SEC schedule, and the SEC really screwed over the Razorbacks because they added Georgia and Florida as their two added games. So I thought they were just throwing them a bone, but hey, I think you're onto something there. So I really did want to ask you about that game. I mean, I assume Texas fans think that's going to be an easy win. I speak to a lot of Arkansas fans. They think they got a real fighting chance. And I've been saying it all offseason. I think the Razorbacks are going to shock the world and win that game. I think they're a lot better than people give them credit for. Obviously it sounds like you maybe not so much, but what's the expectation there for Texas and Longhorn fans going into that game? Do they think it's going to be a tough one? Or as I've seen some people say, they think the opener against Louisiana is going to be a tougher game than that.
Well, most Texas fans think Louisiana is tougher than Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas was a 3-win team last season. So, you know, you're not going to – Texas was a 7-win team, right? So you're not going to have a team that – that's just, you know, logic, right? And then Louisiana's a team that beat Iowa State last year in the season opener. So that's a team that's posted, I think, 10 wins or more the last 2 years. You're familiar with their coach, mm-hmm. Billy Napier. I mean, he's a guy that I believe, you know, is destined to be at a big time program. Yep. And this is almost like a Super Bowl for him. It's almost like an audition of sorts. If he can go out and get a win against Texas, I mean, now we're talking about him the entire rest of the season and what programs he can go to after that. Right. So that game ends up being tough. They've got the majority of their starters back on both sides of the ball, especially the quarterback. So that game ends up being, I think it's one of those, like, you know, Sarkisian had said, hey, this is not the other school in Louisiana. Okay, this program is really good. So I think Texas fans look at that. I look at Arkansas as a team that is rebuilding. But it's interesting you say something about that. Jeff Ketchum, who's the owner and publisher of Orange Buds, he's been telling me, he's like, look, Anwar, Arkansas is a crazy place to go into. Mm-hmm. And if you've never been there, he's like, it's a crazy place. Strange things happen there. Arkansas people, that rivalry goes back for years. They don't like Texas. You know, that's one of those things that I'll be interested to see and, of course, to follow, because this is an audition of some sorts for us to really get a chance. It's Texas' first SEC game that you're really paying attention to, you know. And so I don't know. Some of it will depend to me. And the thing is that Texas, working in Texas' favors, they got a hell of a running back by the name of Bijan Robinson, mm-hmm. Former five-star. He's going to be the bell cow, you know, for the University of Texas. There's some Heisman odds on him, but he's a guy that, you know, within, you know, three out of his last four games, rushed for over 400 yards, 100 yards each. And then in the bowl game, I want to say, it's killing me right now, but almost like 170 yards with maybe 9 to 10 carries, something phenomenal like that. He's going to be a problem, right? For your guys got to get used to him, and he's only a sophomore. Everyone on your podcast needs to get used to that name. He's going to be a problem. And Sarkisian, and as you know from his Alabama days, when he has his top running back, that's the person who's getting 20 plus carries. So yeah, I think Arkansas has that to contend with. And, you know, the quarterback that Texas eventually rolls out there, you know, there's a quarterback battle going on right now between Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. But Casey Thompson in the bowl game against Colorado as a guy that threw for four touchdowns in basically one quarter. Now, is he going to do that every single game? Clearly not. I mean, it's like arena football kind of numbers, but he's a really good quarterback. And again, Sarkisian has a good track record of dealing with quarterbacks. It's, you know, dating way back to his, you know, USC years, Washington years. So, you know, if he is the quarterback whisperer, and you guys saw Matt Jones before, mm-hmm. if he's the quarterback whisperer that he has been, you know, Texas ends up probably having an advantage in that area. You know, and Texas also, from a talent standpoint, probably has a little more talent than Oklahoma. I mean, not Oklahoma, Arkansas. You know, the Texas' biggest issue has just been the coaching aspect of it, coaching up the talent. But, you know, we go composite rankings. Texas, the guys on this team, Texas had two top five recruiting classes under Tom Herman, mm-hmm. you know, back-to-back seasons. According to Rivals, and I believe they were four each season. So there's talent that's here on this roster. And if this new staff gets the most out of this talent, then all of a sudden there could be a lot of, you know, a little bit of a differences in that game. So, you know, it's a game that, again, I want to get past Louisiana on that. Like today, you tell me, hey, who you got to put $100 on? I'll put my $100 on Texas for those reasons that I just stated. Mm-hmm. But the game's on the road. Okay. And, you know, when you got a new team on the road and it's, you know, new offense, new defense, you know, new things, new everything, new on special teams. And then you got a new quarterback in his first, you know, road start in a hostile environment. Strange things happen. You've been doing this for a long time. Strange things have been known to happen. So that's just kind of my preliminary thoughts on that game.
Now, you keep mentioning Steve Sarkisian. We all know that name from his time at Alabama, USC, Washington, like you said. Anything stand out to you in the spring or in the summer that maybe one or two things that really lead you to believe this is the right guy for the Texas program?
Well, I would say there's been a couple of things. You know, from a quarterback perspective, the quarterbacks seem to really like him. And there seems to be a relatability factor. And I think it's because Sarkisian did play quarterback, you know, in college. So I think his knowledge and his ability to relate to those guys seemingly is something that has gone extremely well. The play, and this may sound corny to say it, but the players really seem to like him and respect him. And it's interesting because he took this approach, and you see this a lot of times in college football, and he took this opposite approach, but a lot of times in college football, guys get the job, and all of a sudden, they just become the crazy coach who's got to run out all the bad players mm-hmm. who were crappy before. And so all of a sudden, they take this us versus them. It's the new coaches versus these old guys. And these guys are sissies and these guys are wusses. And so these guys need to, now we're going to make them run more. And now we're doing like disrespectful things to, you know, as far as you get your food. If you're a champion, you get a certain mm-hmm. breakfast or a certain lunch or a dinner if you perform in this group. And if not, then you get like crappy food. And Tom Herman used to do that when he came in. And it takes an us versus them type of mentality. And when Tom Herman did that, when he got here, he had a fractured locker room. And he had a group of guys that just did not want to follow him. Charlie Strong did that when he first got here. And he was just, I think he suspended like at least eight or kicked at least eight guys off the team. And again, took this like, used to call me Crazy Joe. Now you call me Batman kind of mentality. Well, Sarkisian hasn't done that. And I think because he was in the NFL, he understands that there's a way you talk to players and the way you try to relate to players. Cause I did NFL for years. I covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I covered the Detroit Lions. I worked at Yahoo. And the one thing you know about the NFL is that players will curse you out at any moment. At any moment, a player will tell you to go F yourself, screw you. And there's not much you can do as a coach. So they have to learn how to, you know, give and take. And that's it. And so his ability to relate to the guys in the way that they're saying that, hey, they're able to pick up things and able to learn things and enjoying themselves and feeling comfortable. I think maybe it's something that ends up, you know, helping them, and him having the national championship also helps because they're listening. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got to see Alabama play. And the one great thing that happened for Texas is Sarkisian was still coaching in a national championship game after he was named as a head coach. So all eyes, especially from the players, were all watching this game. And they're like, all right, well, what's this new guy going to do? And when they were able to see what that offense was able to do with the running back, receivers, offensive line, how all that type of stuff clicked, there became this excitement that said, well, man, he did that there. Maybe he can do that here. Because the thing about Texas is you don't necessarily have to be as good as Alabama, right? You just got to be better than Baylor. You just got to be better than TCU. You just got to be better than Iowa State. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't, you know, I got to be better than Tech. Like, that's what you got to be at this moment. Right. The Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, that day will come. But right now, can you make this program good enough to be better than the other programs that you are technically better than, that you technically have out-recruited, but the only bad part is you've been out-coached. And now if they can get to a coach in here who is not getting out-coached, but who can match wits and then exploit the talent that is better than the talent that is at other programs, then there's a chance for success.
All right, last question I got for you on the Longhorns. Now with Texas obviously coming to the SEC and Sarkisian taking over there, I know they're heavily involved in the recruitment of Arch Manning. Do you think mm-hmm. it helps them now that they're in the SEC? And because that, I mean, a guy like that, if he lives up to all this incredible hype, that's how you get to that Alabama, Georgia, LSU level, is to get you a quarterback like that. So do you think that helps the Longhorns?
I think it helps. Is it the deciding factor? No, but the Mannings are an SEC family.
Right.
They just are. And so, you know, the thing that was always was a kind of a question for me was like, is he really going to go outside of the SEC family? Like, this is what their entire family has done and lived. And so Texas going into the SEC, I think, kind of gives them that familiarity of the SEC country. Right. And I think that's the thing that it helps. I think him just stretching out on his own and just going to a Big 12 conference would have been a little bit like, but you know, now I think he gets to stay there. You know, look, it is a short flight from New Orleans to get into Austin. I mean, you're talking like an hour and change at most. So that's easy for the family to do, easy to get your Southwest points and have the opportunity to live in Austin. And there's an appeal of Sarkisian and what he's able to do. So, you know, everything I've gathered from it, Texas is still on the table, still on the board, but they want to see what the product looks like on the field this year. Mm-hmm. And if the product looks like really good on the field this year, then absolutely, then it's that SEC move absolutely helps them. But I don't think without the SEC move, I think there's a question mark about going into unfamiliar territory. I mean, we all like to do things that we're familiar with, right? It's just human nature. And now at least you can guide your child and say, all right, one kid went to Tennessee, another kid went to Ole Miss. All right, well, this guy goes to Texas. All right, it's still SEC.
Mm-hmm. All right, last thing. I really appreciate all your time, Anwar, but we're going to have fans now, SEC fans coming to Austin, the great city of Austin. So you give us some recommendations, man? Well, maybe best bars or best restaurants or, you know, tailgating. What would you give the advice to SEC fans that have never been to Austin?
So the first thing I would tell SEC fans that have not been here, do yourself a favor, take off Thursday and Friday, and also get a late flight back on Sunday, because it's a great city. I mean, you're going to want to enjoy it, right? And if you want to be happy about anything, is, and I don't know about all the SEC cities, but this will probably be one of the best destinations for all you guys. And look, as it gets closer, I'll give you some recommendations because I want to make sure I don't piss off any sponsors. But, you know, everyone has the food is great. The barbecue here is great. It's hard to go wrong. It's considered a music city capital of the world. We have beautiful lakes that are out here. You can rent a boat and just get lost for 4 hours. There's trails and hills and beautiful kind of, you know, mountains there's probably a better word for it other than it's not really a mountain, but anyway, you get what I'm trying to say. The scenery is beautiful. The downtown area is nice. There's an MLS soccer team that is here if you're into soccer. So there will be a plenty of things to do. I would just say use this as a time to take an extended vacation, because there's a reason why everyone's moving to Austin. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why you know, everyone loves Austin. You know, very rarely hear anyone say, I went to Austin, that was a really crappy trip, right? I mean, it's usually something positive associated with it. So as it gets closer, I will give you, you know, your food recommendations. I mean, everyone will tell you about Franklin Barbecue. That's the historic place, and that's what we're known for. But Jack Allen's has really good food dishes. Style Switch is also a good barbecue place. There's so many barbecue places. There's going to be people who get really ticked off at me, but there's good eating to be had everywhere. So come and I'll treat one of your podcast members, your followers, I'll treat one of them to drinks will be on me.
Oh, there you go. I mean, hey, we've never had
one. You got to choose the one. You choose the one. And that person that night, I'll take him around Austin. Drinks on me.
There you go. He's Anwar Richardson. Give him a follow. You can find that in the show notes. Covers Texas for orangebloods.com. Anwar, I really, really appreciate all your time.
No, I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to it. Whenever you want to have me back on, we'll definitely talk. Hopefully it'll be next year and we can start talking about the season. But yes, I think it's going to be a fun marriage. And anytime you need me on, I got you, Mike.
All right. So I just want to say thanks again, Anwar. I really appreciate you. And how about that? I mean, this is the first time we've ever had a guest on the show offering to buy drinks for SEC fans. I cannot wait for that first trip down to Austin. Whoever that, you know, it's going to, if they keep it the way it is, it's going to be an Alabama fan. So he may regret that one, because the Crimson Tide travel really, really well. And you know, if it's Alabama week two of the 2022 season, that stadium is going to be rocking with, man, who knows how many Crimson Tide fans, but I have seen them take over buildings. Well, outside of Vanderbilt, I was about to say, never really seen them take over the entire SEC stadium before, but who knows, man? I mean, I'm kidding. None of these Texas fans are great, but it's going to be quite the scene whenever the first time Texas hosts an SEC matchup, and I simply cannot wait for it. And I hope, man, do I hope it's 2022. We do not need to be talking about this for 2 or 3 years, that's for sure. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. And as always, you know, give us that 5-star written review on the Apple Podcast app. We'll send you a beer koozie free of charge just for doing that. Just send those on over to thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. And check us out on YouTube, man. That thing's blowing up. We're getting tons and tons of interaction on there. We're really trying to get that to grow. And I can't wait to share with you guys what we've got cooking up here. And you won't get the full effect unless you check it out on YouTube. So appreciate each and every one of you. Catch you all in the next one.